Transport authorities in New South Wales are tightening the laws on using a mobile phone while driving. From Thursday, new laws come into effect in that state that ban drivers from even touching their phones unless they're in a fixed mount. But a new research paper on the rise of urban rail systems argues that mobile phones are more important to young people than cars, and they'd rather take public transport so they can use their phones. Winsome Denyer reports.
Tim Spencer is 27 and doesn't have a car or a driver's licence.
I always just sort of assumed they were more troubled than they were, really, in terms of how much they cost and living in the city, like where you can park them and all that sort of stuff.
Tim lives in Sydney and has no desire to get a car anytime soon.
When I moved into the city, then it just became about public transport and having access to modes of transport that weren't an issue. Certainly don't feel like I'm constrained by not having a car.
Professor of Sustainability at Curtin University, Peter Newman, argues that Australia is in the midst of a cultural trend. He says young people no longer relate to the baby boomer feeling of freedom from owning a car.
It is a different priority, and in America a survey was done to see whether people needed a mobile phone before a car, and that is in fact 90% of them said yes, the phone is more important than the car.
In a new research paper on the rise of urban rail systems, Professor Newman argues that American trend is happening in Australia.
There is a change in culture amongst younger people who are wanting to live back into the cities, close to things. They are much more urban, less suburban. They're not fixated by the car. They've got their mobile phones and they are connected, therefore, without needing a car. And in fact, in many ways, the car gets in the way of that. You can do your electronic devices on a train or a bus a lot easier than in a car.
In 2 days' time, New South Wales laws surrounding the use of mobile phones in cars are tightening. Drivers won't be able to touch their phones at all unless it's in a specifically designed mount. That means you can't use your phone if it's resting on your lap. The laws that are recommended for all states and territories could add to the turnoff for young Australians driving cars. Tim Spencer says he doesn't go anywhere without his phone.
I don't know how I would live without one now, and I don't know how much that's to do with my own sort of dependence on it, but also everyone else's dependence on it. You know, when you leave your phone at home for whatever reason, or if it's out of batteries, then you start to panic because of what it could actually mean in terms of what your friends would think or your family would think. You know, being uncontactable at the moment in these days is kind of a fairly big social sin. If you can't get onto someone, you immediately start to think the worst.
The trend in Australia away from cars is not just among young people. A report from the Department of Transport this year found that Australia is following Europe and the United States in reaching a plateau in traffic growth. Professor Peter Newman.
We've known this for a while. We need to do it. We need to make more sustainable futures and more sustainable cities anyway. Well, this is the opportunity because the cultural and economic rationale is now very clear. We've got to make far more resilient, sustainable cities with public transport as their base. Otherwise, we won't compete.
Traffic congestion and fuel prices are the key drivers in the trend. Professor Newman says the increasing amount of time people are stuck in traffic is putting them off.
Bus use is generally not seen as the alternative. It's rail, which is faster than the traffic, that is attracting all of this revival in public transport.
He argues that the time for major new motorways is coming to a close. But earlier this month, the New South Wales government released its Transport Master Plan, a 20-year vision for the state which focused heavily on road construction. For its part, the federal government has committed to substantial funding for rail projects in several capital cities.
The rail options were clearly better economically and have been funded in those places that have got their act together. So in Melbourne, in the Gold Coast, in Adelaide, they have been given funds for urban rail. Sydney has not yet got a clear plan. Brisbane is getting theirs together. Perth has announced their light rail plan for the future, a $1 billion project to supplement the heavy rail, which has been very successful.
Professor Peter Newman, who's also a board member of Infrastructure Australia, ending Winsome Denyer's report.